Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And, of course, like always, I have another great guest. Her name is Betsy, and she is an author of children's books, but it goes more than just that. So I'm going to bring Betsy on right away. So, Betsy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. It's been a while since we talked. Thank you for inviting me on the show. It's great to talk to you again.
You're very welcome, Betsy. So, Betsy, first of all, let's tell the people a little bit about who Betsy Lewis is. So, tell us your story, and then I will chime in and ask some questions.
Oh, sounds great. Well, I guess I should start at the very beginning. We should go back really early when I was just a few months old. I've always had visions and everything, but I think it all started with my parents when they had a UFO encounter. And I was just a few months old. This is up in northern Idaho, and I won't go into detail of it, but they were traveling through an isolated rural area, and it was late at night, and they heard this horrendous roar, and they thought a plane was going to crash on them. And my father pulled over, jumped out, and there was nothing there. And that's the story they always told me. But there was more to the story. And I found out later from my uncle, he said it reminded him of the famous Betty and Barney Hill case, which happened in 1961, where they lost 2 hours in time. And I guess what they didn't realize is they had lost 2 hours that they couldn't account for. And so I think maybe that was the start of things for me. And when I was 3 years old, I had invisible playmates. And I had special names for them. And you're going to laugh when I tell you what the names were. Peekaboo and Potoy. And my mother said, I don't remember them, but she says that they used to tell me things. Now, I don't know if this is my guardian angels or what, but they used to talk to me and tell me things, and I wouldn't tell my mom. I said it was all a secret. I couldn't tell her. And then when I started first grade, this is in Idaho, I was walking home from school, and I had quite a few blocks to walk to get home. It was a cloudy day, and I remember that quite clearly. And I was about halfway home, and I looked up in the sky, and there was this huge silver disc up there. And it started following me. And I was frightened. I was so frightened. I was running, and I was hiding in bushes, and I ran to someone's home, and I actually went in it. I think it was a friend. I don't know if it was a stranger's home, but I was really frightened. And this thing would get larger and smaller and larger, and I ran home, finally got home, and had my mother go outside with me, and it was gone. But the whole neighborhood was abuzz about it. So I know that I wasn't the only one who had seen this. But shortly after that time, I started having dreams, precognitive dreams, about Earth changes. And I saw this very clearly. I knew I'd be much older about this time frame in the dreams. And I saw huge earthquakes. I felt them anyway. I saw volcanoes going off. I saw tsunamis. And I felt that these things were going to happen. And, you know, I've always had these visions and dreams, and they've always come true, so I have to trust them. And I feel right now that with everything that's happening, I know a lot of people feel apprehensive about everything happening with our economy, with unemployment, people losing their homes, but there's something else going on. And I think people have noticed that there's a lot of weather changes going on. There's been a lot of flooding around the world. There's been volcanoes. It's probably the most active it's ever been with volcanoes in, you know, maybe a century or so. We've got earthquakes. We just had that huge Samoan earthquake and Indonesian earthquake not too long ago. I think it was like 7 point, maybe close to 8 point earthquake. So there's just a lot of things, but not only that. Now, this is the real kicker. There is some really strange things going on in our solar system. And like Neptune's light intensity is changing. Neptune and Uranus have experienced polar shifts and increased magnetic field intensity. Jupiter's magnetic field is in flux. Earth's magnetic field is getting weaker because the sun has been extremely quiet in the last 2 years. Global warming on the Martian poles, and there's more ozone clouds appearing on Mars. And we've also had, this is another strange thing that's going on, that now about a year ago, Jupiter was hit by a huge asteroid. And also Saturn's ring was hit by an asteroid maybe a month or two later. But just recently, I think it was October, that I'm not sure how large it was, exploded over Indonesia. I don't know. Did you hear about that?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I think they said it was about 20 feet across, but it had the force of an atomic bomb that destroyed Hiroshima. So there's a lot of strange things coming into our atmosphere, asteroids, and where do they all come from? There's something going on. So, you know, I want the listeners, and what I really have in mind is to have them trust their intuition, because I think that's so important right now. Children, too, that's why I wrote Rainbow Eyes, my children's story, which is about a little Lakota girl that lived hundreds of years ago. She was born blind. She was called Dark Eyes. And she learns to talk to the animals. And her grandmother is her teacher. But she learns to trust her intuition, trust her heart, because she knows that's the only way that she can survive. But the animals talk to her, and they tell her that because she's so kind to them, that they will help her someday. And I'm not going to give the ending away, but she becomes Rainbow Eyes because she saves her tribe. And she trusted what the animals told her, and she trusted a dream that she had. And she warned her tribe and saved them from a terrible catastrophe. You know, it was a natural catastrophe. But and I think that's what we need to do right now. With all these things going on. And I know, Nancy, when you were on my show, it was about 2.5 months ago, we talked about this, and I know you said that you've had feelings about 2010 that something's going to happen. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the things that you've seen in your dreams as a child with that time frame that you're talking about is a lot of the things that, you know, I also saw, and I'm sure a lot of other people, you know, in this age category have too. And
right.
it's there. You can't change it. I mean, I've been told ever since I was 6, and I'm 61, what's happening for 2010. And I know people are all caught up with the fear of 2012, but the problem is that we're already in it. We've already started this process, and a lot of people are not understanding that it's here. So, you know, they kind of keep their heads buried. And I tell everybody, you've got to, you know, unbury your head, because if you keep your head buried in the sand long enough, you're going to keep your butt really hard.
You're going to turn into an ostrich, right?
Yeah, you know, even worse. Your whole neck will be done and your butt will be big enough for more can. You know, a lot of the kids that are here today, and I know that, you know, you have a very big love for kids also, or you wouldn't be writing children's books.
Right.
But it's these kids that are here today that are really going to have to try to put this world back together, because they have the knowledge and they actually have the love in their heart that it's probably going to take. I mean, because we've done some pretty intensive damage to this earth and
yes,
to our manager, you know,
yes.
And so it's going to change, and it has to change, you know. So a lot of your dreams, Betsy, I'm sure were pretty much right on, you know. But
right.
I have a couple of questions for you, Betsy.
Yes.
When you first, let's call it an awakening, okay? When you first
yes.
got your awakening, you know, with things going on in your life, did you have anyone to talk to about it?
Absolutely. My mother was, she was such an inspiration for me. She believed in reincarnation and recalled past lives, and especially in China. She helped, she said, build the Great Wall of China. She was a Chinese man that helped build it. She remembered that very clearly, and she said she was buried inside the wall. And, you know, we had never read anything about that until years later. They had evidence that people were buried inside the Great Wall. But she was, you know, she believed in UFOs and aliens. We talked about all this. She was very intuitive. She could astral project, actually. People would see her, you know, a great distance and say, "We saw you. I know you said hello to us." And she'd say, "No, I was here all the time and, you know, in Idaho." But, yeah, she was amazing. And we did have telepathy. You know, we could communicate with each other and read each other's minds. So, yeah, there was... She was definitely my inspiration.
See, and that's really important, Betsy, because a lot of the children today who are having all of this intuitive awareness and awakening, a lot of them don't have parents who are open for whatever reason.
Right.
It's normally those children that they put and label as ADD, ADHD, and they want to drug them. And
yeah.
It amazes me how the parents, you know, we'll just go along with that because that's, you know, what everybody is doing today. You know, but as children, they come here open, they come here with love, and then they're put in this kind of energy, and believe me, our intelligence level as far as energy goes and love goes is far, far below what it was meant to be. So these children are very important in the new development of the world that's going to be going on. And unfortunately, there's a lot of government peoples out there around the world who don't want to see this. And so, you know, the idea of drugging these children with Ritalin or whatever they're given to them is one of their only way to not let these children be who they are. You know, so it's real important that people like you, Betsy, write books for the children because they really, you know, they have to know that there's other people out there who have either gone through what they're going through or can feel for what they're going through or kind of know what they're going through, that they do have someone to at least talk to and confide in and trust. Because unless their parents are willing to help them, it doesn't work like that. You know, so a lot of these kids shut themselves down. You know, and you didn't shut yourself down as a child. Did you shut yourself down as you got a little older?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah, well, you know, I kind of feared what I was seeing, and, you know, I did shut it down for a while. But I would still have the dreams. I can tell you many of my dreams and visions. I had a dream about the big earthquake, the San Fernando earthquake in 1971. I was living in L.A. For 3 nights in a row, I dreamed of a big earthquake, and early the morning that it happened, I didn't have that dream, but I was up earlier. I worked for a brokerage firm at the time, and it hit. I knew I was going to be okay, but it was pretty scary, and I dreamed of Mount St. Helens erupting, so I've learned to trust that those visions and know that they're true. You know, not all my dreams come true, and sometimes I don't know how to interpret them. Like I had a dream of 9/11, and I'm sure it was, because a year before it happened, it was in 2000, and it was around September when I had the dream. But it was so lucid, a dream, that I couldn't put it out of my mind. I don't know, it just really touched me. And I saw this giant apple tree, and there were apples on it and leaves, and suddenly they started to shrivel up. and the tree was sucked straight down into the ground. It was just sucked. And, you know, I had no idea what that meant. You know, that it was very strange. But a year later, of course, with 9/11 and what happened, it was telling me New York is called the great, you know, the Big Apple, right? And and I always felt that what we were told we were lied about, because I think we were lied about a lot of things. And I think people are getting tired of it, too. But I really do. I think there was much more to 9/11 than we were ever told. And I think it was a demolition, the way it went down. There's been experts that have said that. So, you know, I just believe what I was shown in my dream.
Yeah, it's really amazing how our people, the American people, are told what they would like us to believe. And because there's so many people who don't want to take responsibility for making a change until it's almost too late, they would just as soon take the coward's way out and go, oh, no, it was okay. It was, it was a terrorist attack. See, and I have a hard problem with that, because I agree with you that it was not a terrorist attack, that it's very much planned. And during, actually, 2010 through 2012, a lot of the truth is going to come out. Just like, for example, I've got emails from everybody telling me that President Obama on November the 27th is going to announce that, yes, there are UFOs, yes, we are being visited, yes, we have been visited for a long time, and we're, you know, trying to be in contact with them. Now, here's the problem I have with that.
I don't think so.
here's the problem with that. Even if he does that, they're going to use it as a fear tactic. It's not going to be really what it's meant to be, because if, you know, there's a new series that came out called V, and what it's about it is the reptilian, and it shows how Earth people, you know, think that they're so wonderful, and they find out down the road that they're actually here to kill all of us off. You know, so they came out with many, many programs lately that would indicate UFO whatever. And, and again, because they're probably not going to handle it so well, or they're going to handle it to try to keep us in fear, they're going to do all kinds of stuff. So people have to wake up. These children that are here, they already have these answers. They already
they do.
Know.
Yes,
you know,
they're the rainbow children.
Yeah, and, you know, they're trying to give us these messages. They're trying to help us. And in turn, most of the people, they don't think the child knows anything, and they really do. So, you know, people, Betsy, like yourself, who are willing to talk about stuff as a child growing up, what you went through, you know, writing books about things that help children to learn, you know, to trust themselves, trust their first gut feeling, trust their intuition, learn that they have to treat, you know, Mother Earth better and human mankind better and animals better. That's all part of what they're here to do.
Right. We're all one. And we have to realize that we're all one. Everything is all connected. Everything. You know, we're all one, and we're all part of, made out of the same thing. And so we have to honor Earth. We have to honor the children. We have to honor the animals. The way that we kill animals, you know, for food now, there's no honor in that, you know. That's why I respect the Native Americans, because, you know, I've spent a lot of time with the Native Americans, and, you know, they bless the animals, you know, after they've killed them. And, you know, there's that respect for that animal. And we just don't do that. We send them to a slaughter, and they have the fear hormone in them. We eat that. We have the fear hormone. It's terrible what's going on.
Yeah, it is. And believe it or not, there are people who are waking up, and that's real, real important. And, you know, the more shows that talk about people waking up, how these children have the answers, let us learn from them, the more of those shows, the more of those books, the more of those talks that come out, the better it's going to be as we go through this time period that's going to be coming in.
Sure.
You know, so it's all very important. And it's not that it can be stopped, because it can't be stopped. There can be some changes done, but it can't be stopped at this point, because it really has gone way too far.
It has. You're right.
Now, the book, your book, Rainbow Eyes, let's tell the people, Betsy, where they could go to get your book.
Well, they can go Amazon.com. It's online anywhere. And if they go to any bookstore, they can order it. It was carried at Hastings for a while, and I don't know. Hastings isn't, they're just, I think, in the Midwest and Northwest. I'm not sure where they're all located. I think there's some in Tennessee, but they can get them there. I wrote the book about 2 years ago, but actually the story came to me 18 years ago, and it was kind of like it wrote itself. I don't think I channeled, but you know how things sometimes come to you, and they just flow, and that's the way the story came to me. And I just felt that children, there's so many bright and evolved children coming into this earth right now, and like we were talking about, they just don't understand their gifts. A lot of them are psychic, extremely psychic. They see spirits. They don't understand that. They remember past lives. And I want to help those children with my book. And I feel that, you know, especially after what happened with the Indonesian tsunami, you know, there was signs there, and people just ignored it. They say many of the wild animals were rushing away from the coastal area. Monkeys, elephants, birds, they were all just leaving the area. And they knew something was wrong. But people didn't trust that. And I want them to trust that. That's what I'm saying in the story. Trust the animals. Watch nature. Get out in nature more. And just see what's out there. You know, it talks to us. Mother Earth talks to us if we'll just listen.
Do you have a website, Betsy, that you could give out?
You know, I'm working on it, but I do have a MySpace, which they can go to, which is myspace.com/rainbowvisions, or they can go to my blog show, which is blogtalkradio.com/rainbowvisions.
And they can find me that way.
Beg your pardon?
Your blog.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up there. I didn't hear you.
What time is your program on?
Oh, okay. Usually on weekends. I just had two shows Friday and Saturday, and I've got a show coming up on Wednesday the 18th, which isn't about the paranormal. That's my format and spiritual, but it happens to be a singer-songwriter. And then I do have a show on the 21st. With the Dr. Rogers coming up, and that is about the paranormal, spiritual.
And Betsy, give that out again so people who are listening can find you.
Oh, okay. It's blogtalkradio.com/rainbowvisions. And if they want to email me, my email is rainbowvisions7, that's the number 7, at yahoo.com. I do donate books to Rainbow Eyes, to hospitals, schools, underprivileged children. I love to give out books. So if people want to donate a book to a hospital or something and would like me to sign it, please contact me at my email address, and I'll certainly sign it and write a letter to on your behalf and get that out to your favorite charity or whatever.
Now, back in the 70s, you were talking about that a little bit, you know, I guess a few minutes ago. Back in the 70s, when you were actually starting to, you know, have your consciousness awakening and search for your highest, you know, your higher consciousness, you did some things. You actually went into Eastern and Native American spiritual beliefs. So you studied a little bit different.
Right. Well, I've been to a lot of churches, to tell you the truth. When I first moved to L.A., this was in 68, I went to an all-black spiritual church in Watts. Believe it or not, I was the only white person there. And they were wonderful. I experienced so much love there and so much acceptance. It was great. And with this church, they had plants, and you prayed over them. And the more you prayed over them, you know, the more they would grow, which was kind of an interesting experience. But I've gone to Buddhist temples, and I've just Native American beliefs. I'm really into that. I've gone to many powwows, Vision Quest, and sweat lodges. And I would say my beliefs are kind of a combination of both, maybe.
But that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, no,
it's the best of the world that way.
Right, yeah, right.
You said that you've gone on Vision Quest. Now, from my understanding, a Vision Quest is to open up or to learn something about you or your life.
Right,
is
right.
That, so
well,
when you were going on yours, what were you searching for?
What was I searching for? Probably just answers to who I am and everything. I think all my life I always felt like I didn't belong here. And I don't know, did you ever feel that way? It's like, what am I doing here? Am I on the right planet? But
I look around today and I wonder that today. As a child, I didn't, because
right.
I went through it differently. I was actually protected by my angel. So mine was a little different experience and probably a much easier and calmer. But I look around today and I wonder, man, did I pick this right time, or, you know, is there someplace else I should be at this moment? But tell us about your Vision Quest, because if you're searching,
sure.
did you find what you're looking for?
Well, actually, I organized this in Sun Valley, Idaho. This is a few years ago. It's been about 10 years ago with Ed McGaw, Eagle Man. He's a wonderful spiritual leader, Lakota Oglala Sioux. And he's written many, many wonderful books. But he came up there and did a vision quest. He showed us how to make a sweat lodge, which was wonderful. We took the reeds and everything, and it wasn't anything like what went on in Sedona. You know, that was just a horrible, horrible thing. I think you probably heard about that, the deaths there. But they had no idea what they were doing. But we had about 30 people. In fact, it was a little bit more than what Ed wanted. But we built a sweat lodge. It was in October, and it was quite cool then, and some people had fasted maybe for a day, that's all, you know, nothing terrible. And we were all told to bring water so no one would be dehydrated, which is really important. And we all said prayers inside. When it would get kind of hot in there, we'd open up the flap, and if anyone felt dizzy or uncomfortable, they were welcome to leave. And it was just, you know, I felt spirits in there. I did. I felt them when he was saying the prayers. And each of us said a prayer, and he would ask us what thing in nature we felt close to. So everybody would say what they felt close to. And, of course, I've always been close to rainbow visions. And he gave me a name in Oglala Sioux, which I can't remember or pronounce. But it was wonderful, and it turned out great. And then afterwards, many of the people, not all of them, went up into the mountains there and spent the night. And I spent the night out there with some friends, and it was just wonderful, just connecting and being in nature. We all had a great time. And many people said that they felt, one lady claimed that she felt like she was healed. I don't remember what her problem was, but it was an amazing sweat lodge and vision quest. And it was just for the weekend.
When people do a sweat lodge, is it the same as a vision quest, or is there a different reason for a sweat lodge?
Well, a sweat lodge brings in the spirits. You're honoring the spirits. You're calling in the four directions. So it's also kind of a prayer, a way to communicate with spirit. When you have a vision quest, many go out and they fast for a few days. And they go out alone. That's what the Native Americans did originally anyway. And they wanted to see a vision. So that was the main thing. Fasting brings on visions, you know, that.
Okay.
And like Black Elk, he had a vision after going on a sweat, not a sweat lodge, but a vision quest. And he saw the things that are happening today. He talked about the Blue Man. He talked about how the buffalo were going to be slaughtered and killed off. He just saw many things happening to the earth, which are happening now, that the destruction of our waters. And so that's the difference. Does that help?
No, it doesn't. There was a beep on the phone, so let me find out. Is there a caller waiting to ask a question? Okay. I wanted to make sure, because sometimes when there's a beep, it means there's a caller. And I don't normally open, but I don't normally open the phone line, so I was just curious. Now, you're also a Reiki practitioner. Are you a master, or first, second, or third?
No, just one, Reiki one. And I was working with a friend, and she's a very close friend. I call her my soul sister. And she and I were doing, she was doing reflexology, and I was doing Reiki. And we were doing it up in Sun Valley, Ketchum area. There's a wellness festival that goes on, and we were doing it there, and we had some amazing things happening. It seems like when we work together. But I don't do that anymore, and I would like to get back into it. Seems like when I work with her, we just have incredible things happen. So we were doing readings for people. You know, things would just pop in our head, and we'd tell them this is going to happen and that's going to happen. So I know that she and I have had past lives together, and I think that's why it works so well with the two of us. And we've talked about doing that, you know, doing the healing work together, because she's very powerful.
Okay, that was another beep, so I'm going to ask again. Is there someone waiting to ask a question? Somebody there? Hello? Okay.
Maybe it's gremlins, aliens.
I don't know what's going on, but that's all right. The other thing, you are kind of like an amateur archaeologist, but you have a special interest.
Love it.
So let's talk about the archaeologist part of you.
Oh, absolutely. A friend and I, who is a river rafter guide, has been all through Idaho and all over the place in South America. He's gone to everywhere, but he knows the area, and there's an area on the Idaho-Nevada border, I won't say where, but it's on BLM land, Bureau of Land Management land, and private land, but it's near a lava flow cropping, and there's all these rocks. They're very smooth rocks, and there's just amazing petroglyphs there. In fact, there's one I call the camel. And a lot of these are so old, they're starting to fade. So I think they're at least 10,000 years old. I introduced the area to archaeologists from the College of Southern Idaho in Twin Falls. And they went to the area, and they had never seen that particular area of petroglyphs. They knew of the pictographs that were in the area, which they had been studying. And that's when they used the ochre and different pigments on rock, which fades very quickly, and people have been going there and touching it, and the oils from their skin is just making it fade and disappear so fast. It's so sad what's going on. But the petroglyphs are actually etched right into the stone, and you can just feel the sacredness of the area. There's arrowheads all over the area. It's incredible. But there's another, which we start seeing, that there's actual, they use the rocks to make objects. Like there's one that is a rock that looks like a serpent on top of this other rock that has all the petroglyphs on it. And you can see the eye of the serpent. There's another rock that looks like the profile of maybe a chief. You can see the headdress. You can see the eye, the mouth. It's very strange. And like the one I call the camel, of course, the archaeologist that came out there to look at it from the college didn't quite agree with me. It was a camel. But camels did roam Idaho. There were smaller versions of camels 10,000 years ago. So maybe I'm not so crazy. But they did roam, and like I said, the area is just amazing. There is an ancient volcano in the area. People have found gold in the area. It's very remote there, and during the summer you have to watch out for rattlesnakes because there's lots of rattlesnakes in there. So we were going into some dense brush and everything, and I was scared to death we were going to find a rattlesnake.
Did you?
No, not in that area, but we did find them in other areas. And I did find an object, a round object. There were a lot of them found in that area that the Native Americans used. And I'm not sure, they're not sure if they were actually used for maybe grinding or if they were a children's game, because they're all different sizes. Some are marble-sized, some are baseball-sized. So it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure what they were doing with those, but a lot of those can be found through that area.
Did any of the petroglyphs depict any aliens?
You know, a lot of them were lines. One looked like Saturn. It looked like a planet with a ring around it. So I'm not sure what that is, but a lot of them are just lines and round formations. You can actually see one that looks like a stick figure of a Native American, maybe. But I would say that's more recent than the other petroglyphs that we found.
Could not even petroglyph?
Beg your pardon?
Like a serpent? Could the one petroglyph that looks like a serpent?
It's a rock, but they used that rock because it looked like a serpent, and they put an eye in it. They used, you know, chiseled that out to make an eye, and then underneath it is another large rock that looks like it's suspending the head of the serpent, and there's just a lot of lines and things like maybe they're measurements, or maybe they're counting the months. I'm not sure what those were used for. It would be interesting to get someone else out there and get their opinion. I've tried to meditate in the area to find out what was going on there, but, you know, I got a lot of different things. But I felt there was a big civilization there.
Could the serpent figure represent some form of the reptilians that have been walking the earth for?
Well, that's what I was wondering. I thought about that too. I just finished reading a book by an English author that suggested that maybe the dinosaur didn't really disappear or become extinct. Maybe they evolved and became the reptilian aliens that we, they went underground. I don't know. Does David Icke suggest that at all?
He just talks about how the reptilian race have come and have intermingled with a lot of the, let's say, higher up echelon people, you know, in the world to create a different form of DNA strand so that they can have kind of more to take over, which is kind of what that Series Z actually depicts also. But I was just curious because in a lot of Native American Indian, you know, petroglyphs, there are serpents all over the place.
Yes.
And, you know,
isn't that interesting?
You often wonder, you know, why all of the serpents, you know, that have been appeared in their petroglyphs. Because it's interesting.
Right.
And then a lot of their petroglyphs, you know, actually depict aliens, just like a lot of the Egyptian, you know, petroglyphs depict aliens. So it's pretty interesting how the awakening is going to be happening. Plus, I just heard, this will interest you, Betsy. I just heard that Pope, the Cardinal and all those guys,
yes,
the Catholic religion, is now going to be part of this awakening and actually as an ambassador, type thing for the meeting of the UFOs and aliens, which I find quite interesting.
Right.
For so many, they, you know, they tried to tell everybody how crazy they were, and now some of them are actually changing their ideas about angels and God and possibly everything being kind of different. And it amazes me because for so long after them fighting that it's not, all of a sudden it is, and they will tell you that it is. You know, so I find that kind of interesting with some of the things that's going to be supposedly opened up and being said.
Well, you know, what's interesting, I don't know if you heard about it, but since the movie 2012 just came out, NASA decided that they wanted to tell everybody that, you know, it can't be true and it's just based on fiction and da da da. Well, they've never remarked about any movie before. Are they afraid of something? Do they know something? Because, you know, that just seems a little strange to me that they would come out and debunk the whole thing and you know, especially with all the rumors of Planet X coming through our solar system at this time. I just kind of wonder, do they know something? I think they do.
They've known something for a very long time.
Yes, they have.
And they're not able to hide it much longer, and that's their fear. There's there's another movie out. If you like going to the movies,
yes.
I went and saw the movie called The Box. B-O-X,
oh.
The Box.
I haven't heard
and
of that.
It's a very probably low-budget movie, but one of the stars in it is Cameron Diaz. Okay, so, but it's about humanity and how they have allowed greed to overcome, you know, their human part. And it's a very interesting, deep messaged movie. So for people who want to kind of see what the human race is going through, actually that's a movie to go see. I don't know if people understand it, but they did, in my opinion, a very good, you know, demonstration of what our society has become and what the
country. Well, you know, what's interesting right now is, you know, you're talking about the awakening, but right now Earth's magnetic field is getting weaker, and that's allowing all these protons and the solar waves coming in, and that's how evolution comes about, you know, quickens. And I think right now we are going through an evolutionary DNA change. And I feel that, you know, it's a wonderful thing. I think it's going to be great. You know, there's going to be a lot of changes, and I don't want people to be in fear. I want them to be prepared to trust their intuition, their psychic, you know, ability, their sixth sense, and we all have it. We just forget that we have it. You know, that little gut feeling that tells us don't do something or you know, it's beware of something.
Yeah.
And that's what I want them to do.
I heard another beep, so I'm going to ask one more time.
Sure. Okay.
Is there anybody on hold who is waiting to ask a question? Okay. So next time I hear beeps, I'm going to ignore it. Anyway, what I'd like for you to do, Betsy, is give out the name of your book again.
Yes.
The way people can find you on your station, and also your MySpace.
I'm sorry, also my what?
Your MySpace, where they can find you on MySpace.
Oh, okay. It's Rainbow Eyes. It's a children's story with 16 beautiful illustrations by Rod Tatsuno. He's a commercial illustrator, and it can be found on Amazon.com or any of your online bookstores. You can go to any bookstore and order it. It is available. And my website, you can reach me on my blog site. You can find me there, www.blogtalkradio/rainbowvisions, or you can go to MySpace, which is myspace.com/rainbowvisions again. And if you want to email me, it's rainbowvision7@yahoo.com. And please, please get a hold of me. I'd love to, if you get the book, I'd love to get your reaction to it. And if you have those special rainbow children out there, they've been called indigo crystal children, please let me know what they think of the book, because I've had some wonderful, wonderful reaction from it, and remarks and reviews, and so.
Which is all for anybody. It's blogtalkradio.com. So,
.com, yes. / Rainbow Vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real important, blogtalkradio.com. And
right.
You're going to have programs. Give them kind of like a little idea when your programs are on so they can. But are they archived? I mean, can people just go there and get. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. They're archived, and it tells a little bit about me on the first page there. And you can see the people that are coming up on my show. And I also want to let them know that I am working on several books. I'm working on a book called Sacred Visions, Past, Present, and Future, which is going to talk about some of the visions and like Nostradamus. It'll go back into the past, the present, some of the people that have predicted things, and it'll talk about my predictions too, so that I'm anxious to get that out. That should be out sometime, probably maybe fall of 2010. And I'm working on a book called First Mother, which is a memoir about healing three generations of adoption in my family. And also a fictional story called Evolution. And I'm not going to give that away, so. But it's an adventure novel, so.
Is there maybe one or two predictions, Betsy, that you would kind of like to tell the listeners that you think is going to be going on?
Well, I'm worried about our freedom being taken away from us right now and what's going on with this country, because you know, so much is changing, and what I see happening to the dollar, I'm just worried about the economy, because things are getting worse. You know, the middle class is vanishing very quickly, and it's becoming the super wealthy, and, you know, the those that don't have anything, you know, it's becoming that great big chasm. There and I just worry about, you know, those things. I don't know. Earth changes may happen before that, and I hope, you know, that we'll all be well. You know, I always say that with intent we can change a lot of things that are human caused. You know, with prayer and intent, we are powerful spiritual beings. I believe that, and we can change a lot of things. I don't know if we can change these huge earth changes that are going to be coming about. How do you feel about that, Nancy?
You know, again, I really don't think we can, because to me, Mother Earth is a living, breathing planet. And
mm-hmm.
we, with our infinite wisdom of progress, is destroying the whole planet. And since it's leaving, living and breathing, it is going to survive. And it will shed itself of excess debris, which is us and what we're causing it. So there will be changes. No, they can be slowed, not even slowed down, changed a little bit, but not you know,
mm-hmm.
totally gotten rid of. There are changes that have got to happen.
Right, I believe that, too.
You know, my whole take. You know, it just, there's too many things, you know, like you said, we look around and the tactics that looks like everybody is using, as far as government goes, is the fear factor, and
mm-hmm.
we don't get told the truth, you know, and I don't know if anybody at this time on the planet, when it comes to government stuff, is being told the truth or will be told the truth, but it'll still be found out anyway. You know, and I think a lot of people, Betsy, have got to get themselves out of that victim pattern that they have
mm-hmm.
been in.
Exactly.
And when it comes to the swine flu shot, I have a problem with that. I think it again is a ploy to eliminate a lot of people from the face of the earth, because
I agree with you.
That they're giving is a living virus, and I don't
mm-hmm.
think people understand that when you inject a living virus into your system, that is the slow sign of death that comes. Plus, you are very active as far as passing it on, and so when they talk about a pandemic, What better way to have a pandemic by injecting millions and millions of people with a live virus that's very lethal? And that's what they're doing.
Nancy,
and people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. It's like, okay.
You know, it's strange. I was looking up Fantoma, you know, the children that had the vision of supposedly the Immaculate Conception in Portugal, and I think it was 1916 or 1918, somewhere in there. And it's strange that these children, this is the time when the Spanish flu hit and killed 50 million people around the world, 50 million. But supposedly it started right in that area, which is kind of strange with this vision and everything. And then World War One broke out. But I'm just wondering, you know, history seems to repeat itself. And,
it
you know, here they are with the swine flu again, right?
You will repeat and repeat until you get the message and you get it right. And unfortunately, we as humans are apparently pretty stubborn.
So, oh, are we?
We have to keep going through all these things. You know, so hopefully, you know, my thought and my intention is that whatever changes need to occur will occur, and the end result will turn out to be best for all mankind and the planet. So that's what my intention is all the time. You know,
well, I think
people
we
don't
all
agree
have
with
sorry, go ahead.
I just want to say people don't agree with me, but that's okay. I don't care. I just do what I think I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think we all have to remember that we chose to be here now for, you know, lessons, and that's why we're here. We picked this time to be here, and so we have to own up to that, you know. We're here, you know, Earth is a great big schoolroom, and how we handle our lives and what we do to help others. Are we service to self or service to others? You know, what? How do we handle that? You know, do we have compassion for others? Do we help others that are in need? You know, I think that's the most important thing right now. And that's how we get the brownie points, the spiritual brownie points, right?
That's true. Betsy, our time is just about up, so I would really like to thank you. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this hour goes by real quick, but I'd really like to thank you for being on the show.
Oh,
so
thank you,
just before we have to go, please give out the name of your book again and the blog talk site and your MySpace site.
Okay. It's Rainbow Eyes, and it's available at all bookstores and online. My Blog Talk Radio show, Paranormal and Spiritual, is blogtalkradio.com/rainbowvisions, and MySpace is myspace.com/rainbowvisions.
And if they want to email you?
That is rainbowvision7, the number 7, at yahoo.com.
All right, Betsy, it's been great having you on the show.
It has been great. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You take care, and we'll talk again real soon. How's that?
To you, blessings. Thank you.
You too. I'd like to thank you, all the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a fantastic week. Think about what we talk about. Try to do your part, and by all means, try to learn how to love again. Take care, and may God bless all of you. Bye now.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.